Schreiber, can you hear me? You are listening to WDOT Port Washington. Hello, and welcome back to the Epic Entertainment Roundup. My name is Gabriel, and as always, I will be your host. On tonight's show, I will be interviewing Tony, Drama Desk, and Outer Critics Circle Award winner Robin Gorman Newman, a producer of Parade, Fat Ham, Smash, coming spring 2025, and Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. Over her time in the Broadway industry, she has worked with such celebrities as Ben Platt and Josh Groban. She is also a co-producer of the Museum of Broadway in Manhattan. I haven't gone there yet, but hopefully I will soon. Her newest projects are the revival of the Who's Tommy, starting performances on March 8, 2024, at the Nerlander Theater, and Cabaret, starting performances on April 1st at the August Wilson Theater. Robin is also a vice president of the board of New York Theater Barn, a nonprofit devoted to the development of new emerging, diverse musicals. She has also hosted and conceived panels for BroadwayCon and is a member of the Drama League. Not only has she stepped foot on a Broadway stage, but she is also the author of two books, How to Meet a Mensch in New York, and How to Marry a Mensch, which I heard might be turned into a musical one day. Without further ado, please welcome Robin Gorman Newman to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Gabriel. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Of course. Could you tell me a little about yourself?
Well, you kind of laid it all out there, didn't you? where should I start? You know, I will just say that I love theater. I always have. I grew up enjoying theater with the influence of my parents, and I'm thrilled to be able to produce and bring works to the stage I feel that are important, that entertain, can send messages. I love the communal vibe of theater, and I just think it's really vital to society, and I'm honored to be able to do this, and I love sharing my experiences, so I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Of course. Did you start out doing theater in high school?
I did do theater in high school, actually. I can't sing, but they had mercy on me despite that, and I was actually cast as an angel in Anything Goes, which was super fun, but it wasn't something that I knew I was going to do career-wise on the stage. But I did also do props for Arsenic and Old Lace in high school, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed that. And in general, I would just say that I really enjoyed hanging out with that crowd. I have always felt like I'm home when I'm in theater. So that was definitely, I would say, the start of my love of wanting to participate in some way.
Mm-hmm. When did you realize you wanted to do theater as a living?
That came, you know, a little later. It was sort of unexpected. I wound up making a call to a theater in California that had a show about moms at the time, because I'm a mother, and I had actually launched an organization for women who became moms, and there was a big trend in theater that was sort of like kind of themed around mom stuff for some reason. And it was like one of those odd scenarios where the universe just urged me to make this phone call, and I did, and I left a message at the box office in California at this show that was actually no longer playing there. But one of the producers wound up calling me back and telling me that this mom show, which was called Motherhood Out Loud when it came to New York at Primary Stages, was in fact transferring to New York, and I had no way of knowing that. And then it became very clear that the universe, and I've always been someone who sort of trusted their guts, was that the universe knew something that I didn't know. And I wound up getting involved in this show. I was offered the opportunity to come on as an associate producer, and which was not something that I saw coming, but it just felt really right at the time. And I did that, and that launched my career as a producer. I made a decision after that, after getting involved as an investor in a show on Broadway. I decided that I wanted my name in a playbill, and again, put that out to the universe, because that's kind of what I always do. And I was invited to join the producer team of Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. And that was my first Broadway show as part of the producer team. And I was instantly Tony nominated, and that was in 2016. So it was a pretty wild, unexpected ride and journey that led me to producing.
So what does a producer actually do?
anything and everything. I'm not the lead producer on these shows, so I'm part of the team, and we're called co-producers. So one of the first things we have to do is commit to raising a certain amount of money, because I'm sure that you know this, but no show, there would be no shows if there weren't investors. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten, unfortunately, even more expensive to produce in New York since the pandemic. So everybody, including the lead producers, have to bring in money to mount the show. And then beyond that, of course, I'm in constant communication with my investors. I participate in group sales, which I'm working on right now for Tommy in particular. I promote it via social media and any other means that I have. We attend constant meetings. I'm the kind of person who likes to come up with ideas for shows on a promotional level. So, you know, once we're on the team, we kind of do anything and everything to help support the show and create buzz and sell tickets. And, of course, I get all kinds of beautiful behind-the-scenes opportunities. And I already attended a table read for Tommy. I'm attending a rehearsal coming up. I'll be attending the invited dress rehearsal when that happens. And, of course, opening night. And whatever else happens with the show, there's, you know, we're kind of part of the whole process. And, you know, that's for Tommy, and it can be a little bit different for a developmental show, which is Smash, which I'm on. And Smash is based on the hit TV series by the same name, and it's about the making of a show, and it's a behind-the-scenes take on that. It's a musical, and this is going to be, like, a really high level of comedy. And that's coming in spring 25, as you said. And for that one, because it's developmental, I've actually been actively engaged in the process of giving feedback about the show itself, around the narrative and anything else that occurs to me, because they're at the phase now where they're testing the waters and they're having presentations where people can weigh in. And that's been really exciting and fascinating, because I feel like I have the opportunity now to actually help shape the show. Mm-hmm. Which is really cool.
So you were talking about the money aspect of the shows before. How is cost actually a factor in creating a Broadway show?
Well, I mean, it costs a lot to do a Broadway show. So it costs less to do a play than a musical. But, you know, musicals can be expensive. And, you know, the running costs are what it costs on a weekly basis to mount the show and keep it going. So, you know, for a show to sustain on Broadway, it needs to meet and ideally exceed its weekly running costs, because that's the only way that a show can sustain and continue to play on Broadway. So the ticket prices, you know, it's not that producers are necessarily trying to purposely charge so much money for tickets, and certainly in some cases that happens, and most shows do dynamic pricing, so it's based on demand. But at the same time, at the end of the day, it does cost a lot to do a show, so the ticket prices help to keep the show going.
Mm-hmm. When a production team adds a well-known celebrity to the show, how does that actually affect the show?
Well, in the case of Parade, as you mentioned, that I was on and won a Tony for last year, Ben Platt was our known star. Michaela Diamond was with him as well, but she wasn't quite as known as he was. Mm-hmm. And it was a limited run, and we were 6 months, and that was the amount of time that Ben had to give the show. So it was not the goal of the show to recast and to continue playing. It was always known it was going to be a limited run. And I do think that casting somebody like Ben, who has a tremendous fan base and is just a beautiful performer, is somebody who would help sell tickets. And for something that's a limited run, especially, that's very important, because limited runs don't have a lot of time to establish themselves and generate buzz. And sometimes it can take time for a show to cultivate momentum with ticket sales. And if it's not a limited run, that's fine. But a limited run doesn't have that time to spare. So you want to come out the gate strong and have great advanced ticket sales. And having a big name can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. And what was the casting process actually like for a show?
Well, I actually don't get involved with that. That's something that a lead producer would do. So that's not something that I can really address. Mm-hmm.
Do you help imagine set ideas for shows?
ideas for casting, you mean?
Or no, for the sets for the shows.
For the what? I'm sorry, the set, you said?
Yeah, the set design.
Oh, set design. No, because that, it depends on the show. If it's Parade was a revival, and Cabaret is a revival, and Tommy's a revival. So those are all established and being transferred from somewhere. Parade was at City Center, so the set was already established. And Tommy is transferring from Chicago, where we had a very successful run just recently. We got rave reviews. So, you know, when you have a show, when you're on a show that's transferring from somewhere else, all of that's pretty much established, unless they feel like they need to go bigger for Broadway. But, you know, in these cases, I think they're going to be, you know, pretty close to what they were. If it's a new show like a Smash that's developmental, if I have the opportunity to weigh in, I will, but we haven't gotten to the point of set design yet.
And I myself was just wondering, were you involved with developing the innovative set design for Natasha, Pierre, and the Great Comet of 1812? Because I knew that the set was very different from anything that had been done in the past.
Yeah, it was. That was incredible. That was fully immersive. That was done before the pandemic, which I think had an advantage because it might be a little harder to even do a show like that now, you know, with concerns around health being a little higher than they were before the pandemic. But I was not involved with the design because that also was a transfer, because that had come originally. First, that was off-Broadway. That was started at Ars Nova. Then it was at Casino, which was a tent in New York City. Then from there, it went to ART in Cambridge, which is where I saw it. And it was then that I got involved after ART. So at ART, they were already testing the immersive concept. So they pretty much adapted that for Broadway and brought that over, of course, on a much bigger scale. But yeah, I mean, Natasha was extremely innovative. We gutted much of the theater and we built little tables in between the seats with lighting. We had special seating on the stage, like, you know, sort of bleacher style. We had small tables around what would have been the stage, where kind of like a cabaret style. And there actually was no stage. We had a little bit of a platform, I would say, where some of the performers were. But for the most part, everybody was all throughout the whole theater, even as high up as the balcony. It was highly immersive. And we gave out pierogies, and there was engagement with audience members. And it was really fantastic, crazy fun, and highly imaginative. And we got the most Tony noms that year. That was 2016, and we got 12 Tony noms. And we won two. We got the most of any musical that year. And unfortunately, we lost to Dear Evan Hansen. I do love Dear Evan Hansen, so I can understand how that won. But I think any other year, we might have won. It's always timing when it comes to the Tonys. And we had some pretty stiff competition that year. Also, Come From Away was that year, too. So it was a tough category.
What's it like to actually produce a Broadway show, like during it or maybe the opening night experience? Seeing all the ideas come together?
Oh, I mean, I love opening night. It's so exciting. I mean, it's just the thrill, the energy in the room, and many of the shows have parties afterwards. And it's just, yeah, it's really special just to know that it all came together and you're sharing it. And then, of course, there's always a little bit of nerves because you're waiting to see what the critics will say. But I feel pretty strongly about Tommy and Cabaret, so I'm sort of excited to see how that will go down. And I try to choose projects carefully. I'm discerning. I follow my heart, and if the show speaks strongly to me, like Parade did, which was such a beautiful and important musical, and Tommy is so iconic, and it has so many existing fans who have loved The Who for years, and it's a rock opera, and we're going to be the only rock opera on Broadway this spring, so I think that's really cool. It will really distinguish us. And I'm hoping that we can attract an audience from younger people like you who may not be familiar with The Who, but Tommy is an album that was written by The Who. And it was done 30 years ago on Broadway, and then it was made into a film. And now this is the first revival in 30 years. And it was written by Pete Townsend of The Who, and who is still around, and he's supporting the show, and he's been active with it, which is incredible. I'm sure he'll be there at some point once we open on Broadway. And I think it's an opportunity for new audiences to discover this. It's really epic. The music is amazing. And this cast is, like, just super cool. And 11 of them are making their Broadway debuts. And the lead guy is a young 23-year-old who is just fantastic as Tommy. And I think it's just going to be – it's a really electric show. I've already seen one rehearsal, as I mentioned. And it's pretty jaw-dropping. So I'm really excited for people to enjoy this. I hope you'll get a chance to see it, Gabriel.
Yeah, I really want to see it as well. You actually answered one of my questions. I was going to ask, in order to produce The Who's Tommy, did you guys actually consult Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey?
Well, Roger didn't write it. Pete wrote it. Mm-hmm. You know, so Roger is obviously a fan and supportive, but Pete's involved, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's actually, if you follow the show on social media and the show, which you should, you know, we're on Facebook and Instagram, and Pete's actually recorded a whole bunch of messages around the show.
So have you had a most, like, exciting moment in your career to this point?
Winning the Tony for Parade, mm-hmm. You know, for sure. I mean, that was pretty amazing. I got to go up on stage. I loved Parade. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Yes.
But did you see Parade?
I wasn't able to, but I've listened to the music before, and a lot of my friends saw it, and they all said it was amazing. They loved it.
Parade is stunning. Parade tells a true story of Lucille and Leo Frank, who were a young Jewish couple living in the South, and he was from Brooklyn, and she lived out there, and he got a job with her uncle's pencil factory, and he wound up getting accused of a murder that he didn't commit and was ultimately lynched. And it was obviously hugely tragic, really strong anti-Semitic story here, although it really could have been about not just someone who's Jewish, but just prejudice and discrimination in general. And with Ben and Michaela, it was just truly one of the most beautiful shows I've ever seen, and gut-wrenching. But it was really a stunning love story, and the music was by Jason Robert Brown. Beautiful score. And we're actually going to tour. We're going to tour, not sure exactly when, but, you know, not that far off. And there are some conversations around potentially the UK. So we'll see how that plays out. But a tour is definitely happening. And we're just waiting for the dates to be locked in and the exact locations. But I'm excited that people will have a chance to see it. And not with Ben and Michaela for the tour, but I'm sure whoever's cast is going to be fantastic, and mm-hmm. It's a really important and beautiful story.
Did you know how successful the show is actually going to be on the stage?
I was pretty confident it was going to get a Tony nom. When I saw it at City Center, it was just so, it was breathtaking to me, and I did not know the story, and I was blown away and pretty much audibly gasped during the show. And I came out and I went to see it with my husband. And I said to my husband, I just found my next show. I will do anything it takes to help bring this to the stage because the world needs to see this. So I knew from the beginning it was something special. There's no way that I could know it was going to win the Tony. We actually had a very competitive year. We were against Into the Woods and Sweeney Todd. So, you know, certainly any of those could have won. I enjoyed both of those productions as well, especially Into the Woods. But I do feel like we deserved it. And not only am I honored to have won the Tony in general, but I'm honored to have won it for this show specifically. The show was really deserving, and it was a thrill just to be there. So I kind of trust my gut. Again, as I said earlier, you know, when it comes to productions and that I choose to get involved with, and if something speaks to me, I feel like I certainly can't be alone in my excitement around it. And that's when I decide that I feel like I need to come on board. And of course, if it feels like it's something that could be popular commercially as well, because that is important.
Is there ever like a stressful part of being a producer? Have you ever witnessed anything or you or have been stressed during a rehearsal process?
Oh, producing is very stressful. I mean, raising money can be stressful because it's, you know, you just never really know how that's going to go, and it takes time, and it's, you know, that's a whole process. So you're not done until you're done, you know, so to speak. So that's part of it. And yeah, I mean, it is stressful, especially today's day and age. Unfortunately, things are different since the pandemic, and there's always health concerns, and shows have to be really conscious of that. And we were especially conscious of that during parade when, you know, we were, because we knew that if Ben and or Michaela were out, it would make a big difference in ticket sales. Mm-hmm. So we really protected them very carefully, and they usually shows have more opportunity for co-producers and other people on the team to mingle with the actors. And in this case, we actually didn't have as much because they wanted to really safeguard them. So I think that, you know, unfortunately has added a level of stress since the pandemic to producing, because you want everybody to be well and safe. And, you know, we need to try to do our best to make that happen.
Mm. Could you give an example of a change you made during a preview of a show?
Well, I don't make those changes. Again, that's a lead producer decision. Mm-hmm. So I can't, you know, the one thing that I can reflect on, and again, it wasn't a choice that I made, but I did see some changes made in Parade, for example, when I transferred from City Center to Broadway. And but those were changes made by Michael Arden, our director, who is the one, he actually won the Tony for Best Direction for Parade last year, which was great. But I did see him just add, you know, some different elements to it, just different ways actors were positioned, just a few different things, that a little more movement that they didn't have at City Center that he introduced in Broadway. It was small touches, but it was things that I did notice that I thought were impactful. And, you know, and that's the opportunity during previews, or even before you start previews, but even when you're transferring something and you're in the rehearsal phase, then some of those things can come up too, because you have little time to work on it.
Mm-hmm. Can a director change something in the show after the previews happen, like when it's actually on Broadway?
Once the show is opened, it will not be changed. The changes are only made during previews.
Mm-hmm. And if you had any, like, final advice for someone that would want to be an actor or otherwise involved in a Broadway production, what would you say to them?
I would say aim high. Anything's possible. It is a tough industry, but, you know, put yourself in it. You have to be in that room to make opportunities happen. So do what you can to network. You know, do what you can to promote yourself in any way possible, whether it's social media or otherwise. If somebody is interested in getting involved with a production, if any of the parents of your fellow students are listening to this broadcast, I'd be very happy to talk to anybody who might be interested in joining one of my future production teams on a future show that I get involved with. I do stay in touch with people via email to let them know about what I'm working on. So I'm happy to hear from people in that way. And I think it's just important to believe in yourself and follow your heart and trust your gut, which is what I always do. And it's a beautiful community. I love theater. It's changed my life for the better in terms of my being a producer. And while it gets frenetic at times, there is nothing really that compares to the excitement of having the opportunity to be in that rehearsal room and to see artists putting their best foot forward, and to know you're creating something so special. And I think that's the beauty of it. And if that's something that's really important to you, then you should go for it.
Well, Robin, I want to thank you so much for speaking on my show today.
You're very welcome. It was my pleasure. And if people do want to reach out to me, they can. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn. You know, I'm pretty easy to find. So I'm happy to hear from people, and I hope this was helpful. And, you know, I just encourage everybody to follow their dream.
Mm-hmm. And for all you listeners out there, as always, this has been your host of the Epic Entertainment Roundup, Gabriel, saying, hope you have enjoyed your President's Day.